This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the 10th verse of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul declares that day and night, he's been praying fervently or exceedingly that he might see their face, that he might perfect that which was lacking in their faith. Paul had a tremendous concern for the faith of those in Thessalonica. In fact, when Paul arrived in Athens, he got to thinking about the church. He was there just such a short time when persecution arose. It was so severe that Paul had to leave suddenly because they were looking for him to arrest him. And so his friends encouraged him and helped him to get out of town undercover. But his job there was far from finished. Many people had come to believe in Jesus Christ. Paul had been preaching to them that the Messiah had to suffer and die according to the scriptures, but rise again, and that Jesus was the Messiah. Many people had come to a faith in Jesus, but Paul did not have a chance to establish them in the faith. And so he was so concerned about them as he was there in Athens, worried about them. He said to Timothy, "You go back to Thessalonica and encourage them, comfort them, and establish them in the faith." So Timothy came back to Thessalonica for that purpose. These people were just babes in Christ. They had been born again, but when the persecution came, it was so severe that Paul left them without notice. But Paul was afraid that being so new in the faith, because of the persecution, they may have become discouraged and perhaps left the faith. Paul reminds them that he had told them before that his life had been appointed unto tribulation. So that he said, "You know, I told you that that seems to be the lot of my ministry. Everywhere I go and minister, it seems that problems arise. That's sort of my appointed ministry." An interesting thing, when Paul was converted, when he was on the Damascus Road, as a result of that experience of meeting Jesus, he was blinded for a time, and thus they had to lead him into Damascus. And while he was there, the Lord spoke to a disciple in Damascus by the name of Ananias. He told Ananias to go to the street called Straight, inquire at the house of Judas for Saul. The Lord said, because he's praying. Ananias said, "Lord, are you sure? I've heard about this fellow Saul, how he wasted the church in Jerusalem, and he's come here to Damascus to arrest those that call upon your name." The Lord said to Ananias, "He is a chosen vessel unto me, and I shall show him the things that he must suffer for my sake." The Lord didn't say, "Saul, I want you to follow me, and it's all going to be glory. Bed of roses, going to be just a wonderful, exciting, glorious ministry." He said, "Paul, I want you to follow me. You're going to be beaten. You're going to be stoned. You're going to be shipwrecked. You're going to go through all kinds of problems, Paul. But the present sufferings will not be worthy to be compared with the glory that you shall have when you come to be with me." And so Paul shared with them that he had been appointed unto tribulation. And now the tribulation that Paul had told them about had arisen. and Paul had to flee from the persecution there in Thessalonica. He was able to handle it, but he didn't know if they were able to handle it. And it caused him tremendous concern. So Paul tells them in verses 6 and 7 how that when Timothy finally came to Corinth, having gone back to Thessalonica, he joined with Paul again in Corinth, and he shared with Paul how that they were going on in their faith and in their love. And so Paul writes of the tremendous comfort that he received with the report from Timothy of how they were continuing in their faith. Paul was extremely interested in their faith. Will they go on serving the Lord? The Apostle John wrote in his third letter, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. And you know, the greatest joy to a pastor is to know that those that you have been ministering to, those that you have given your life for, are walking in truth. Conversely, when those that you have ministered to and prayed with and cried over and been concerned about, when they turn from the truth and they follow after error, there's no greater sorrow than to realize that people that you have invested time with and really sought to help them, when you hear that they're no longer walking with the Lord, walking in faith, it is a very difficult, painful experience. So what a great encouragement it was for Paul to know that those he had been ministering to were going on in the faith. Paul said that he was fearful until he got Timothy's report, that maybe he had labored in vain there in Thessalonica. But now he realizes that it wasn't in vain. They're going on with the Lord. So he then speaks of his constant prayer for them, night and day, praying earnestly, exceedingly, fervently. But what was his prayer? First of all, his prayer was that he might see their face. I want to see you again. He had left so abruptly, he probably didn't have time to even say goodbye to the most of them. Just up and departed, because it was just one of those emergency things. Paul, they're heading down here to arrest you. You better get out of town. So he left without even the opportunities of saying goodbye. And so he was desiring to see their face. They woke up one morning and Paul wasn't there. They probably felt like deserted children. And so he longed desperately to see them again. And in the second chapter, he told how that he had really tried to come back on a couple of occasions, but Satan hindered him from coming. But then he prayed that he might be with them in order that he might perfect that which was lacking in their faith. I wasn't there long enough to really get you grounded in the faith, to get you fully established in the faith. And so he speaks of that desire that he had in his heart to just be with them again in order that he might perfect that which was lacking in their faith. There are many people today who are lacking in their faith. It's manifested by the way they live. If they truly believed the Bible, they could not be doing the things that they are doing. They could not be engaged in the life of the flesh as they are. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But then it also declares that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And there are those who profess a faith, but they don't have a hatred of evil. There's sort of a coddling of evil in their lives, an attraction towards evil. They are lacking in their faith. Their lack of faith is manifested in their half-hearted commitment to the things of the Lord. If it's convenient, if it doesn't interfere with their other plans, the Lord is not at the top of their list of priorities, but comes down the line somewhere. If they had a complete faith in the Word of God, they would be more bold in their witness for Jesus Christ, for they would realize that those who are without Christ are destined to an eternity without God. And they would be far more concerned in seeing the lost brought to Jesus Christ. Their lack of faith is manifested in the way that they face their problems. The great despair that they often manifest is a demonstration of their lack of faith. We have people come to us almost in hysterics. They are just beside themselves. But that only demonstrates a lack of faith, a lack of trust that God is in control, that God is going to take care of things. The constant fear and the anxiety in which they live demonstrates a lack of faith. They don't live in that full confidence that comes through faith. Paul desired that he might come, that he might perfect that which was lacking in their faith. How can you do that? How can you perfect the faith of someone? It's accomplished by bringing them to a greater understanding and knowledge of God, by teaching the Word of God, which is God's revelation of Himself. It is always difficult to put trust in a stranger, someone you've never seen before, who asks you to trust them. You don't know them. Difficult to trust them. However, if you have a close friend, has been with you for years, who's always stood by you no matter what happened, they were always there in the time of need, they always kept their word, they never once failed you, and they've promised to stand with you through thick and thin, then you find it is easy to trust in them because they have proven themselves faithful. Now, the Bible tells to us the faithfulness of God to stand by those who put their trust wholly in Him. And as you read the Scriptures, and as we read of the accounts of those who have put their faith in God and how God has delivered them, it increases your faith. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In the book of Hebrews, we read concerning those who had put their faith in God. And as the result of their faith in God, they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained the promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the violence of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight, and they turned to flight the armies of the aliens, and women received their dead raised to life again. Some of the epic stories from the Old Testament, declaring the faithfulness of God in delivering his people from the most adverse circumstances because they had put their trust in him. Jesus gave a parable one day of a sower, and he spoke about the four different types of soil upon which the seed fell. As Jesus explained the parable to the disciples, he said, "Now the seed is the word of God." The seed has within it the coded DNA, the design by which that original plant might be replicated, reproduced. All of the information for the sending down of the roots, for the sprouting up of the plant, for the type of leaves that are to be on it, whether it is to be deciduous or an evergreen, all of the information is encoded in that DNA for the reproduction of that plant or tree or grain, whatever it might be, the flower, all encoded. Amazing how that in that small DNA molecule, all of this information is there. The Bible, Jesus said, now the seed is the word of God. As you read the word of God, it is like the DNA. Encoded in the word of God is all that is necessary to reproduce Christ in you. All there in the word, as you read it, it has that transforming power and transforming effect in you. God said, "My word shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish the purposes for which I have sent it." And as you read the word of God, it's going to be working in you, reproducing Christ in you. Peter wrote, "We have been born again, not with corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God that lives and abides forever." New life, born again, by the word of God planted in our hearts. Back in chapter 2, Paul wrote, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually works in you that believe." God's word will work effectually in you that believe. And by the word of God, your faith is perfected. It is increased. It is completed. One day Jesus was talking to his disciples about the subject of forgiveness. And he said, "If a brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he trespasses against you 7 times in one day, and he repents, forgive him." Now, that was a little hard for the disciples to receive. "You mean 7 times in one day? I'm to forgive?" And so they said, "Lord, increase our faith." They realized, "I can't do that. It's not within my capacity." someone trespasses against me and I say, hey, that's not right. Oh, I'm sorry, brother. Okay, I forgive you. But if they turn around and do the same thing again, I say, wait a minute. And the third, fourth, fifth, by the time the seventh time rolls around, you know, I want to punch him. I don't want to forgive. And the disciples realized they didn't really have it in them. They were honest. Lord, increase our faith. Help us, Lord. We can't do that. Help us, Lord, increase our faith. They felt a lack of faith in their lives to keep the commandments. I don't have that kind of faith. Lord, increase our faith. I realize that there is in my life a lack of faith in many areas. And my prayer is, Lord, increase my faith. Bring me to a full, complete faith in you, in your word, in your promises, that I will not be disturbed or upset with adverse circumstances, that I'll be able to handle things, having that confidence and trust that you are in control and you're going to work things out according to your plan and purpose, which is far superior to anything I could ever plan. I desire for the Lord to increase my faith. I desire that he will perfect that which is lacking in my faith. Lord, increase our faith today. Shall we pray? Father, we come with the disciples asking you to help us, asking, Lord, that you would increase our faith. We thank you, Lord, that you have given to every man a measure of faith. And now, Lord, we would ask that you would increase that measure, that you would perfect that which is lacking in our faith. In Jesus' name, Father, amen. Shall we stand? As Paul had a great concern and desire to be with those in Thessalonica, to see them face to face, to be able to minister to them in order that he might perfect that which was lacking in their faith, so we feel the same today. That longing and that desire to perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And that's why we devote ourselves to the teaching of God's word, as faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so I pray that the Lord will be with you and bless you, and that the Lord will increase your faith, bring you to a greater trust and confidence in him. Dispel the anxieties and the fears that you might be plagued with because of adverse circumstances, and that you might just be buoyed and strengthened in the confidence and faith that God is going to work things out for his glory, and his purposes shall stand. And thus, may the Lord be with you. And may we walk by faith in him.